You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
ESO, 7 years of keeping it really geeky.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man! I just bought it!
Hey, you guys!
How exciting! Spoilers!
Come!
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!
The Earth Station One podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Live from my backyard, it's the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast. I am your host, The Monster. Sorry for a bit of my scratchy voice this morning, but it's Sunday, as opposed to the Friday that I normally get to record this podcast. But as I've mentioned before, when it comes to my work schedule, I am off every other Friday, and I am not able to produce pretty much anything on a Friday, as much as I tried. But the good news is that you have another podcast, so another week of sci-fi news. So the big three topics, which I'll talk about in a moment, it's going to be about the new Netflix series about The Punisher. We have news about the new Star Wars story. And lastly, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but it seems to be making the big rounds, is that Star Trek, the last episode, basically dropped the F-bomb not once, but twice. So, just giving you a heads up, the last portion, I will be dropping the F-bomb and other things. So, it will not be appropriate for any children. So, by that time, I will give you another warning to stop the podcast. Alright, so, you know, I come to the backyard to have some peace and quiet, and the neighborhood cats that I take care of, somehow, are now joining me in the back. So, yes, I'm talking about you. Alright, so, over the weekend, I got to see a couple of movies. One of them was M. Night Shyamalan's Split, so I finally got to watch this movie. And, oh my God, James McAvoy, fantastic. And I knew going in that this was going to be connected to that Unbreakable universe. And it delivered. The last couple of minutes, it delivered on that. So I was ecstatic to see the connection. And I was pleased overall because M. Night Shyamalan has not had a good run of movies lately, and I think The Village was probably one of my last favorites. My wife liked Lady in the Water, but after that it just didn't really have much of an interest. I tried to watch The Happening, which was his first rated R movie, and it really didn't do anything for me. And then of course the Avatar movie live action adaptation didn't go anywhere. So I'm glad that he's going back to stuff that really made him a household name for me in my book. So, but my God, what an enjoyable movie this was. So if you have not seen Split and you love Unbreakable, you are going to be in such bliss watching this movie. So, the other one I watched, and then this is also tying into the Star Wars story, is that 2015 movie came out called The Heart of the Sea. And it's was the Crims Helmsworth story, in which this is the inspirational story about Moby Dick. So I thought that was kind of interesting just to hear the story before the story. But the reason why I picked it up is because Ron Howard directed it. And of course now he's working on the Star Wars story. So one of the other pleasant surprises is that Tom Holland is in it. And if you know Tom Holland, he played the last Spider-Man in Spider-Man Homecoming. So it was interesting enough. The only qualm that I have about it is that because this is a retelling of the accounts on the ship, I got the impression that the Tom Holland character was the sole survivor of the ship called the Excess. And it just seems that that wasn't the case. The story evolved into the point that I guess he was the last remaining survivor, meaning of all the people that survived, he was the last one, not necessarily of the voyage, because there were survivors. But nonetheless, I think some of the sequences are amazingly shot, especially where the white whale is just going to town on everything. It's really, really amazing. So, if anything, I can appreciate what's been trying to be, rarely it gets to be done, is a good seafaring story or a movie like this. The last one was Master and Commander. And that was years ago, and I really enjoyed that movie. So, you don't really get to see those kind of movies being made. So, I can see why it kind of bombed. Because it really was not, to me, a movie that people were clamoring. Kind of like the movies of John Carter, or The Shadow, or stuff, or things of that nature that came out back in, you know, the 30s and 40s. In which there was an audience, and then you try to make it a revival. And it kind of falls flat, because there is not much of an audience that can appreciate this. So, and it's sad that I know of it, and I can appreciate it, but I think today's audiences are just not into that. But considering they're into retro stuff, you would think they would be really into retro stuff. So, go figure. Alright, so let's go into the Netflix series called The Punisher. If you are aware of the character from the comics or season 2 of Daredevil, we know that Frank Castle has had a tragic past in which his family has been killed, and he goes about seeking revenge on those that killed his family, and then he's become sort of kind of the anti-hero, killing people with guns. In light of the Las Vegas shooting, which I was kind of hesitant to talk about this because I try to keep things light. Or at least acknowledge some things that has happened that I think you should be aware of. This is definitely one of those issues that has not been easy to comprehend, because the amount of life that was lost, and it seems almost senseless by this act of violence that we still are still dealing with this today. Considering how many mass shootings we've been dealing with since Sandy Hook. And that's, to me, the most recent that really started us down this path that I think it just seems to be that we can't turn back. We can't stop the progress. So, in light of the Punisher, he is, in essence, a lone gunman, and he kills criminals, which is not a bad thing. But when you put that in the context of what's happening in our society with mass shootings, it's kind of hard to get excited about this, even though, given his situation, Frank Castle's situation of having his story, he is definitely suffering from post-traumatic syndrome, the loss of his family, would push many people to the edge. Some would go to the point where they would act out on violence, like he does. Or some would go in a different direction and become more political. And each has its own valid cause. But this past New York Comic Con, there was supposed to be a scheduled event and promotion materials that were supposed to have happened, but because of the events in Las Vegas, it was canceled. And I understand that. When Batman, I think it was the second Batman, if not, no, it was the last Batman in Colorado, that it was a shooting inside a movie theater while people were watching the last Batman movie. Even I was kind of hesitant going back into the movies after those events. I was kind of weary about that. Now, of course, over time, I forget those incidents. But every time we have a mass shooting or things of this nature, you're always going to be on edge. So the question is, do you need to watch a show that harkens to the problems that we're dealing with today? The good news is that, hey, this is Netflix. You can choose to watch it, or you can choose not to watch it. I, for myself, and only speaking about myself, have seen lots of horrific things, both in real life and on television and in movies and stuff, of course, on the internet. And for the most part, I don't want my kids, or at least my son right now, to worry about that world. My daughter is at least old enough to deal with certain things, and I think she can manage the world that the Punisher is in, and I think she is good with that. And I don't want to necessarily limit her access, but I have enough judgment and faith in her to kind of suss things out. I have never felt, although there are studies that are out there that feel that if children watch violent images or scenes in which there is gun violence of that nature, that somehow there's a correlation to children acting out with guns. It doesn't make a difference what the study says. I have grown with that through video games, through horror movies, and never once do I have ever felt that I want to use a gun. And again, there's a lot of, the proper word is enculturation, that is my surroundings, my upbringing. I was instilled to have a good sense of what is right, what is wrong, but I've never felt a need to act out with guns. And I know other kids in different situations, in different neighborhoods, and different upbringings, that's not so. That's to them like a way of life. And I hate this, to think that this is the way life is at times. That there are some that benefit from having a good life and some who don't. And those who don't find ways of getting hold of firearms and acting out. Hence why you have certain laws to prevent those who are mentally ill from acquiring firearms. But that's a whole other situation that I'm not going to get into, but you get the idea. So when it comes to shows like this, where it's ultra-violent, I choose to watch it because of, one, I'm a comic book fan. Two, I like watching Netflix. 3, I can separate myself and be vested into this character and live through that character as some kind of cathartic experience. I remember, and this is just, it's somewhat related, but not related. I got upset with my boss one time, and I didn't say what I wanted to say to kind of like, you know, what you're telling me is a mistake. So I let it fester, and I watched The Incredible Hulk, the second movie with Edward Norton. And I watched it, and I at one point, because I was still tightly wound up, when Hulk utters Hulk smash, or I forget what the line was, I felt that rage, and it was like this immediate release that I just felt, because I felt the strength of the character, and I lived that moment. And all the anger that was built up with inside of me was then suddenly released. So then the next day, you know, I was still pissed. I talked to that manager and basically hashed it out peacefully. And that's all you need to do. It was fine. But if I didn't have that movie to kind of basically release this tension, this anger, that this animosity that I was feeling, I would have gone into that situation a lot more angrier, and it would have resolved nothing. So for me, I can benefit from movies like this. I enjoy amazing gun violence. John Wick is an amazing story, and the choreography is amazing. So I don't go into a movie necessarily wanting to live out that life. I live out my life through that movie, through that character. And for the most part, I'm done. But again, this is your choice. You can do it. You can watch it. But don't watch it. I'm glad they're still moving forward with it. I think it's an important time to recognize that there's still violence among us in the worst possible way. And yet there are some times where violence can be therapeutic. So I'm looking at it as a therapeutic means to release some of the feelings that I still harbor inside. And again, that's what I enjoy. But if you meet me, I'm not that way. Not in the least bit.
Not unless you piss me off.
What?
You heard what I said.
No, I didn't hear what you said. Whatever. Doing my own little split personality here. Alright, so let's go into the Star Wars story. So if you haven't heard, the word is Solo, a Star Wars story. So what a surprise that we finally get a Han Solo solo movie called Solo, a Star Wars story. And if you look at the picture that's associated with the podcast, you see this picture of Ron Howard holding the cue card. So instead of saying Solo, it's this meme of this character that's holding his arms up like, eh? A Star Wars story. It wasn't necessarily a title that I was just like, hey, that's amazing. That's blowing me away. I can't believe that they came up with that title. So if we're doing this as a one character name movie, so it's like, Fett, a Star Wars story. Great. If you don't know what Fett is, you're not a Star Wars fan. Or if you call him Boba, it's like, Boba, what the hell is a Boba? Okay. Kenobi? A Star Wars story? Sure. So, the list goes on and on, and I was watching on YouTube, I forgot the guy's name, Jack, who does this Disney newsletter about what's happening in the parks, and he's talking about this, and he gives a list of other characters' names, like Leia, a Star Wars story, and Kenobi and such. And then at one point, I'm like, what the hell is that in a corner? I don't know why he thought this was a good idea, but he put down Jar Jar, a Star Wars story. And I'm like, really? Of all the characters, you could have put Wicket, a Star Wars story, and I would have been more happier to see Jar Jar. The only way this works, and okay, this is not going to happen, but the only way this would ever work is that you tell us this real story that he's a Sith Lord. That is the only way this makes sense, and that's the only reason why I would even watch a Jar Jar solo movie. So putting that crap aside, going back to the heart of the sea. I've watched the movie because I think the last movie that I've seen from Ron Howard, and I really can't think of anything else in between, is Apollo 13, and that's a hell of a long time ago. So I think we're fine. I'm just curious to see how it all turns out. But I think the problem lies is that as much as we're trying to roll out this product, and we haven't gotten to that point, just like with Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's been a little bit clunky at the beginning, but once that machine is up and running, I think we'll be fine. We'll be fantastic. We'll be to the point where, like, all right, I'm good. No more. No, really. I don't have any more in my stomach. I have to go to the bathroom to make more room for more Star Wars, that kind of thing. But, again, what can you call it other than Solo? Of course, I'm thinking about the Solo cup in the store that you can buy. But, I don't know. It's not very creative. It's obvious. You know, Han and Chewie back in black. I don't know. You know, it's a weird time. It's not like Rogue One, which is an amazing film, and it stands out on its own. We have Solo. And there you have it. So again, it's not much of a news item, but I thought to share this and my thoughts with that. So, all right. So, I'm going to be playing a clip that has a barrage of foul language. So at this point, again, as I mentioned before, if you have small children that are listening to this podcast, I advise you to stop this podcast right now so that you at home, my one listener, can appreciate what I'll be talking about in a moment.
Pardon my French.
Dickweed.
You're gonna see some serious shit.
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 Jack and shit.
Shit. Whoopty shit.
Fuck me.
Fuck you, fuck me.
And fuck the prom queen.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Go fuck your mother.
Motherfuckers, motherfuckers.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
What's your question?
Your use of language has altered since our arrival. It is currently laced with, shall I say, more colorful metaphors. Double dumbass on you, and so forth.
You mean the profanity?
Yes.
That's simply the way they talk here.
So, as Kirk put it, that's the way how they talk here. Is that appropriate to be in the future? Because that's not how they talk in the future. How about Frack? Frel? Gull Ram? Shazbot? Does anyone remember Shazbot? Poodoo? Smeg? These are the kinds of curse words that I can actually appreciate, that you can do on regular television. You still get your point across, but it becomes a thing. When I got back to 1978, I believe, for the first Battlestar Galactica episode, they uttered the word frack. instead of the word fuck. So one of the things that I note about this use of the F word in the damn show, it's that it's too on the nose. And the reason why I talk about it's too on the nose, meaning it's clear what you're trying to say, and I get what you're trying to do. But there are ways in which you can do the exact same thing, or even just modify it a bit to still get the exact same thing across. One of the good things about Star Trek is that they can talk about issues, whether it's race relations, dealing with political situations, whatever it is that's going on in the current climate of society, you can put that into your storyline, but disguise it a bit, but you still get the point across. Mantrap, you had the last of its kind, and is referring to the extinction of, like, what happens with animals. You have Let This Be Our Last Battlefield, dealing with racism, where you have an alien race that is half black and half white, and there's two, one that's black on left, the other one's black on right, and the other, the white color is reversed as well. So you can talk about all these issues, you can do all these amazing stuff that allow you to broadcast your signal. So even though CBS All Access is technically only on the internet, you're not doing any broadcasts, that's fine. You can push the envelope, and people have complained about some of the violence being a little bit more graphic than usual. But as I talked about from before about the violence with the Punisher, I'm used to it, so I'm not that upset by it. But when it comes to the F word, I think it's really out of place. However, there are times in which it's funny as hell, like Kirk in Star Trek 4, almost getting run over by a cab, and the cabbie calling him a dumbass. And Kirk responds, well, double dumbass on you, which I love that line. So here he is, a man from the 24th century, responding to a man from the 20th century, using his language. Of course, not in the right context, but you get the idea. Data in Star Trek Generations has the emotional chip embedded in him. So what he's been dealing with for the first time are all these emotions. And as the Enterprise is crashing, he utters the words, oh shit. That's fantastic. I get it. In that situation, it makes perfect sense. Captain Picard also curses, but he does it in French. So it's Miet, which is, pardon mispronouncing, but it's French for shit. And he's doing that throughout a lot of episodes. So whatever that situation is, he just utters Miet to himself, but he's saying shit a lot. But it's clever, because it's a different language, and you get what he's saying if you understand in the context. The last episode with Tilly, I get that she's excited of having this kind of breakthrough with the spore drive. I get that. But it just doesn't feel appropriate to drop the F-bomb for the sake of dropping the F-bomb. You have to do things differently, right? On a new Star Trek series. Like any new product, even within its own family, you have to make a distinction as to why this property is different from that property. D DS9 is very different from the original Star Trek series. Voyager is very different from the Next Generation. Enterprise. Well, then there's Enterprise. But with Star Trek Discovery, and I don't want to start bashing Star Trek Discovery. I was watching Star Trek Continues. Yesterday was the episode was called What Ships Are For. And basically it's like Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beam down to this planet in which it's black and white. So what has happened is that the radiation has irradiated certain parts of the, I guess, color spectrum. But in the process of the story is that because everything is all black and white, everything is the exact same grayness, there was another alien race that was trying to come over to this planet. And as the story was continuing, it became more about our situation with illegal aliens coming into our country. And then towards the end of the climax, which is, I'm sure, was done on purpose, is that the inhabitants of that planet that Kirk visited were orange. Very orange. Like Trump orange. And the other race that was coming down were normal colored skin, but they had purple hair. And it was a brilliant episode. You called out an issue without having to call out the issue. You made the connection. And when I go to the last episode called To Boldly Go, Part 1, that series, that episode, makes me hearken for Star Trek. That is Star Trek. Not this jazzed up version with the special effects, with the cursing. It's just, you can see such a difference between these two shows. And when you see people who love this show, who are doing Star Trek Continues, this is for the fans. By the fans. Whereas Star Trek Discovery, I think it's just a product that's not fully understood. Granted, it's different, but it's not, to me, for the fans. This is to get new fans into the show. So everything that I grew up with, everything that I expect a Star Trek to be, so far I've yet to see anything to date on a new series. And again, was not planning to talk about this, but because of the F-bomb, that became a thing this past week that I just really could not pass up. So we'll see how it goes, because we have the Mirror episode, which is going to be later today. Again, I'm recording this on a Sunday, but for the most part, I'm just not happy with the series. It's not making me happy. I'm okay with it. Honestly, I had better times with Enterprise, and that's saying a lot. So we'll see how it goes. Again, I want to talk about Enterprise. I want to talk about Discovery at the end of the series, in which I was completely wrong. I would love to be completely wrong at my point of view, and I want to be proven that. So if it can do that, it can change my mind, I will keep on watching. But again, these are the moments that I'm really questioning about what is going on with Star Trek. So hopefully it's not going to be a thing that will be done every week. So, given the context of the situation, I understand why it was dropped. it didn't make me happy. I just think it just basically cheapened the show, because here I am talking about it, and that was the only draw. Because if you heard about this news, that this was the first time that the F-bomb was ever dropped in the 50 plus years that Star Trek has been in existence, then you're going to say, well, I want to watch it now. And to me, it shouldn't be just because of that. And I really hate to say that. So, we'll see about the other aspect when it comes to the nudity, if that's going to be a thing. But again, it's the context of everything. If it is done properly, then fine. I will go with it. Because again, you're on CBS All Access, and you should be able to tell more adult stories. But on the same token, this is not for families per se. I know a lot of parents were upset that now they have to now question whether or not they can show Star Trek to their families, to their younger children. Because again, this is something that I grew up with, and I have my kids growing up with it. But now that that happened, sure, my older daughter can handle that, but I don't want my younger son to deal with that. And yes, I know, they all curse. We all curse. In school, at work, with our friends, I get that. But I can't even say fuck in front of my mom. And I'm 50. I can barely say crap in front of my mom. I don't curse with my mom. And I get upset when the kids say it. Not necessarily the F word, but just, you know, language, as Tony would say. Watch your language. Yeah, I meant Tony Stark, not Tony. Wait, you get it. All right, so that's going to be the end of this podcast for this week. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, you can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can follow me on the various social networks. And I just, before I end the show, I want to give a special thanks to Matthew, who gave me a positive review on iTunes. So please, if you have iTunes and you're listening to my podcast on that show, if you can give me a review, good or bad, I don't care, but I would love to hear your thoughts about my show. So thank you again to Matthew, and I hope to see other reviews as well from you. So again, thank you for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.